This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shayla.
He sees proof of all this in a crop circle on a chessboard he drew as a child.
How did she say that with a straight face? Oh my God. Divine intervention at work.
You know, you can believe what you want, you can laugh, but I genuinely am Jesus. Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. Hosting today, me, Tis.
So natural.
Do you think? with me as always. Introduce
you
yourselves.
You sound such a professional after 4 years.
Every time it's like it's the first time he's had to introduce a podcast in his life.
Yeah. It's so...
Hello.
It's the intro. This. You find the intro intimidating. As soon as it's going, you're fine. It's just that intro.
I just find the premise of me being on a show is so strange. Because as soon as that ends, it's just us talking about shit.
Right. So it's just when you're actively aware that we're actually doing a show.
I'm never aware we're doing a show, to be honest. Like, right. I know that it goes out, but I never actively have it in the back of my head that we're on a show. Yeah.
Because it's hard to imagine. I mean, how many episodes... how many downloads do we get per episode, for roughly? Like, just ballpark.
First few days, like... First couple of days.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that
Which
many
mental.
People, for example, downloading it. So it's hard to imagine that's like people are actually listening to you.
It's fucking bizarre.
Mental.
I'm not even listening to what I'm saying. I'm just listening to what you guys are saying. And
yeah.
I can't get my head around
that's
it.
That's why the emails are so mad, because when you read the emails, you're like, oh shit, someone was listening to that and that really inspired them, or they liked it, or... I don't know, whatever, it got them through the day. That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's mental.
Getting so many emails, aren't we?
Yeah. Since we came back, right?
Yeah. Since Spotify, I reckon.
I keep getting people that listen to the pod are telling me that like the last 5-6 episodes since we came back have been the best ones.
Yeah, I feel like we've come back at the height of our powers.
Yeah?
Yeah. I also think it's because...
I think the best stuff, like, literally since we've been back, I'm like, every episode has been, like, mwah. It's just, they've all been so good.
And it's not... I think it maybe has something to do with the fact that, like, yes, we're tired from a day at work, but it used to be that then two of us were then additionally tired from driving.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas we're all sat here, like, I'm in my pyjamas, and I'm going to bed after this.
Yeah,
it's good. Excited for what you've got for us today, Tis.
I'm really excited.
I feel like we've all been bringing some pretty like odd episodes to the table as well.
Yeah,
like long-awaited or unexpected.
This is odd. This is odd because it combines a few things in under one title, but it's going to help me explore a subject which was not big enough for its own episode, but it is definitely weird and freaky.
Is it the Bridgewater Triangle?
No.
We've done that.
No.
As Beef was replanning it for next time.
I was looking at some material earlier and was worried that we'd already done this, but I definitely know we haven't. I think we spoke about a few people connected to this.
Particularly when it's something that combines, like you say, like a few subjects in one. Yeah. You're like, oh, have we already talked about this?
Yeah.
We've done so many now that when I look back at the list, I'm like, oh, I forgot we did that. Like stuff like parallel universes. I forgot we even did that. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of them, don't you feel like, particularly maybe some of the early ones, not that we didn't do them very well, but you just think, you know, oh, could we give that
we're
like
doing
a really
so much better now, yeah.
Good go, yeah. Cuz we've hit our stride now, I guess.
Yeah.
The worst part is though, quicker than any computer search, I could ask Bob and he'd know instantly. But I can't reveal the episode, so I couldn't. So I was like thinking, shit, should I search through them? But I know we haven't done.
Right, okay. This is where he tells us, and I say we've already
What
done
is
it? Is it werewolf?
This is Son of God.
Oh.
Is it Jesus?
No, it's people who have thought they were the Son of God or God. Messiah complex.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is something that was come up, but we haven't done a full thing on it. So,
good,
yeah.
This is Messiah complex. Yeah. Just exploring a few people that said they were Jesus.
Okay.
I'm interested in this. This is the first time you've done a religious episode.
Yeah.
Because I know me and Beef have. I think it's your first one, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Ooh.
You popped your religious cherry.
I think that. Yeah. I guess it doesn't really go into the religion.
Considering
much,
one of our like main USPs is the fact that we have like different like faith backgrounds. One of us hadn't actually done a religious episode until now. So
yeah, that's it. That's crazy. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah. Mad.
But I guess it's kind of, I've obviously, you know, it's not as if I'm sitting on the fence with my perspective, and neither's Bobby. And I feel like out of all three of us, Tis, you're the one that's sort of not searching, but you're considering many options.
He's got toes in lots of waters.
I've found my religion. It's just
toes in lots of
just life, baby.
School of life. School
I
of
saw
rocks,
a
mate.
Fucking awesome post. Someone posted it on Facebook.
Was it on the UFO disclosure group?
Almost never. There is never anything interesting on there. It's always trash.
No, there's always trash. This was the Sanskrit.
I mute it quite often now because I'm like, I can't be dealing with that at the moment.
No.
And then always give it another chance. Like, maybe it's got better now, and it never has. It's always dreadful.
Yeah, this was the 12 Sanskrit rules for life, and it was like, you get given a body. You can't make mistakes.
I saw this.
They're only lessons. Every day you learn a new, you know. You learn a new lesson until you basically, you know, it goes in, it keeps coming back, and then you learn more lessons.
Get it up.
The lesson.
Get it up now,
okay,
read it out.
Let's find it.
Let's kick off the show with that.
Let's do it.
So it's people, so the episode is people who have claims to have some sort of divinity.
Yeah, just Messiah complex, I guess.
Yeah. Messiah complex.
Or false messiahs, yeah. Nice.
Yep. The Bible says that many, many people will come and claim that they are the Son of God. I'm not the Son of God.
Every now and then I think maybe I should just do it, because it's like...
Well, just claim that you're God.
Yeah, it's like it just you can cruise on that for a bit.
Start a cult. Okay, rules for being human handed down from ancient Sanskrit. You will receive a body, you will learn lessons. There are no mistakes, only lessons. A lesson will be repeated until it is learned. Learning lessons does not end. There is no better than here. Others are merely mirrors of you. What you make of your life is up to you. Life is exactly what you think it is. Your answer lies inside you. You will forget all of this. You can remember it whenever you want.
Huh.
So, one of them I've got a bit of an issue with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the same one as me. Go on.
Is it there is no better than here?
Yeah.
That was the one I had an issue with, because it's like, depends where here it's like.
I guess it means...
If I'm in prison, getting out of prison is definitely better than being in prison.
Ah, but this is the beauty of the Sanskrit rules.
Depends what you're in prison for.
That's
falsely accused.
No, but it's all about, you know, everything is here. And I know that outside stimulus is like awesome and we depend on it and we're all totally addicted to it, but what they're saying is like you know, I guess it means like there is no better than here. So don't, the grass isn't always greener. There'll always be.
Yeah, the way I read into it was that everything is competition. And we are, it feels like maybe more than ever now, particularly since social media just magnifies the positive in your life. No one ever puts, oh, my marriage is shit at the minute.
Yeah. Oh, I'd say Instagram's a perfect example of that exact rule. It's that
you never
that
get that.
It's not better than here.
The way that's the way I saw it was that, yeah, we're constantly reflecting on other people's lives and maybe looking at them and thinking, that is a better situation than I'm in. But then you never know what's going on in their lives. And just because they're tweeting about how amazing their life is or how great their business is or how amazing and perfect their family is, it's not, it's bullshit.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, they probably are having a good time. But
I actually said, it's really interesting. Actually, me and Becca were talking about this exact thing today. We went out for coffee this morning. And I said, I think the reason a lot of people get very sort of depressed about their jobs, I wonder who I was talking about, it's because they're surrounded by social media now, and you're surrounded by people who have amazing jobs.
Yeah.
Because the people that you follow on social media are normally people that you find interesting, and they're interesting because they live interesting lives and they have interesting stuff going around. So it's like, you know, we said last week when we were recording, there are people out there who literally have a full-time wage from making a podcast about The Simpsons. What a fucking dream job.
Yeah.
And then I'm toiling away in some hellhole and it's making me miserable. Because I'm like, why can't I do what I want to do in my life? I've only got one life and I have to spend it being miserable.
Yeah.
But I guess just because they're, and maybe their work life is pucker, but there's always something in life, isn't there? Always, that isn't the way you want it to be.
Yeah. You
know, maybe their health is shit, or maybe they're shit with finances, or maybe their family's down the shitter. You know, there's always something, isn't there?
Well, I look at it like this, like, you know, Ricky Gervais never made it until he was like 35, 40. You know, he worked loads of shit jobs and he had the talent and he had. So I think if you believe in yourself and you bet on yourself, that time is like, I know that it's like you want it now, but it definitely isn't like not going to happen just because time moves on, because people are doing stuff at any age. Like, good, you know, good content.
J.K. Rowling didn't write Harry Potter till, like, well, she was older than me.
Yeah, exactly.
How was she, late 30s?
So I think, like, the more and more you spend in this world, you're just going to be so unbelievably talented that those things, that you will just, you can't not work in those things, you know? You'll be so, yeah, I don't know.
This is what I said as well. It's hard to know what you want to do for a job because I don't know that I would like something until I do it.
Yeah.
So then I keep getting into these situations where I'm like, that job would be fine. And then I do it. I'm like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I didn't know I'd hate it because I hadn't done it before. But then you leave and then your CV looks terrible because you keep having these jobs where you stayed for like 2 months. It's like, well, I thought I would like it. Now I need to try something else. And then I don't know what I would like. I was saying today, maybe I would actually like being a tutor, like a I could quite like that one-on-one time with someone, and it could help someone with English work because I like that stuff.
Yeah.
But then I might start doing that. I might spend years training towards that and then start it and literally like 2 weeks in be like, oh, I hate this. Yeah. I wasted all that time. I was using as an example. I was like really sympathetic to his situation. Probably have to beep some of this, but he spent years studying because he thought that's what he wanted to do. He sat down and thought, that's what I want to do. And then he went to university, studied it for 3 years. Got a job, worked his way up for like 2-3 years. And then when he got to a position where he was like, I've got a good job, he was like, I actually hate this. I don't like this.
Yeah.
No wonder he, because that would drive me insane as well. Like, what the fuck have I done? I've wasted all these years. Mm. I've wasted like 7 years of my life working towards something. And when I got there, I hated it.
Mm. I guess it's all part of the journey though, right? Because like,
I guess.
I've wasted a shitload of years doing, you know, fucking anything, man. Like... You know, but it's not wasted. It's just like, it just, yeah, I don't know. It made me who I am today.
Yeah.
I think it's, I understand what you're saying. And I guess I occasionally get frustrated because I would say Rachel is unique in that she knew she wanted to be a teacher from like a young age, and is now doing it, and is she's not just excelling at it, but she really enjoys it.
Yeah.
But that is like, that's unique. I don't know many people like that where that's happened.
No.
I'm the opposite. I would say I'm kind of yeah, I've done lots of different jobs. And I felt like that when I was made redundant. I just sat there and I was like, what a fucking waste of time. Three years of my life. And for what? What was that for? And that was when I'd chosen the job, and I felt like that was on paper it seemed like the perfect job. Or it seemed like that's it. That's the job I want to do. If I have to do a job, if I have to work, that's what I want to do. And I guess whilst I was in it, I wasn't really thinking about it. It wasn't like I hated it, but I wasn't loving it. I was just kind of meandering through. And it wasn't until now I'm in this job. And I love the school, and mostly colleagues are great. And I enjoy the job. Kids are great, mostly. I suppose, I don't know, you just sort of... I do genuinely feel a lot better from having come out of that situation. And I know that if I wasn't made redundant, I'd have stuck in the job, just kind of, I don't know, being quite lethargic about it all. But
yeah,
I don't know. I suppose it's a journey, isn't it?
I always wished I had an interest in something that's like a viable option, like people who want to be teachers, nurses, doctors, they want to work in the forces, police officer. You know, with those jobs, you have a set path. You go into university, you study that, and then when you come out, literally the job falls on your lap and you do it, and wow, that's life sorted. You don't have to worry about that stuff, and you're actually doing something you want to be doing.
Yeah.
And even people I know who have done that, people I know who have done nursing, even when it's like a really bad time, which that sort of job can be, and they're like run ragged, they're still like, but I'm doing what I love. And I'm like, I'm so fucking jealous of that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I'm even luckier. My parents got me into Sparky, and I didn't even know what the fuck electrics was. I didn't wonder what the plugs did. I just fucking, they worked. So, but I got a job in it anyway. And then at the age of like 26, I was like, I kind of like this actually. But it's because I did it for so long that I was probably better at that than anything in my entire life. So by default, yeah, I had to do it because I was just like, well, I've got nothing else. But I do love it. I do love it. I'm not doing the job that I love, but I'm doing a job that I like.
I'd take that.
Yeah, which is better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I guess, I suppose maybe when we look at maybe our parents, there was that mentality of just work was pay the bills, work was not for the purpose of making you happy. Work was disconnected from emotion, wasn't it? It was just to pay to make ends meet. And I guess now we're a generation where it's like, no, screw that. That's terrible.
I can't live a life like where that's the bulk of your life. I live one life. I can't live it being miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't.
Yeah. So I guess that's the difference, isn't it? And I think that although when I look at my dad, for example, he's in a job that he loves, and he's not always loved it, and he's had to kind of graft and work to get it to where he wants it to. And he's now in a position that he really enjoys. But yeah, I guess we're maybe the first generation that's kind of figured out that's not, you spend like 50 years of your life working, right? Maybe yeah, more than that, perhaps.
Definitely like, more than that.
That is far too long to do that and to do something that you hate.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Or something that just pays the bills. That's not good enough.
You know what is an interesting job, actually?
What?
Someone's got to do it. Being a messiah. So Tiss,
go for it, Tiss.
After that long rant about my life falling off the rails again,
get us back on track.
This podcast again is turning into my therapy session. Please, honestly, advice, anyone, send it to me. Tiss, take us on your wild ride of people with the messiah complex.
Okay, let's dive in with a little bit of David Icke, because...
Oh, yes, one of our faves.
Back in the 90s, I think it was, he declared himself the Son of God. We're going to watch him with an interview on Wogan. Wogan.
Oh, no.
Right. Ike and Wogan, what a combination.
Okay. Well, now, let me get this story right. The press claim that you claim to be the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yes, you see, the thing is that it's quite funny, really. You know, 2,000 years ago, had a guy called Jesus sat here and said these same things, you would still be laughing. It's really, really funny that we've not really moved on that much. The negativity, the thoughts that I'm talking about that are very destructive, are pouring out of this planet
every day. Well, let me interrupt you. Was it a great shock for you to discover this at 38?
Well, I think the word is gobsmacked. But again, you know the best way of removing negativity is to laugh and be joyous. So I'm delighted that there's so much laughter in the audience tonight.
They're laughing at you.
But just let me say this.
They're laughing at you.
They're not laughing at you. Wogan literally said it.
I love Wogan to drop the C-bomb.
I didn't mean that to be hurtful. I don't want you to misinterpret.
See, I could do that job. Get me on telly.
You literally, you were as good as Wogan, which he was a household name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, if anyone believes, after 12,000 years of this truth being lost and forgotten, that coming out with it initially is going to get any kind of reaction other than that one or condemnation, then I would be a crackpot if I thought that was the case. The other thing is, there is this great illusion, you know, that Jesus was born and stood up and said, I know who I am. It was revealed to him in stages. He was very, very close to beginning the mission which is described in the Bible, but not described brilliantly accurately, before he knew who he was. And when he came out, Terry, and said, I am the Son of God, I am an aspect of the soul of the Godhead incarnate because of things that need to be done on this planet urgently, people laughed, people ridiculed. And in the end, you know, they crucified him.
There are a couple of questions. First of all, why you? And secondly, if I may say so, you have confused the message by an awful lot of predictions. You've told us that there are going to be earthquakes, and some of them going to happen quite soon.
Yeah. Well, two things to that. First of all, why me? Well, why anybody? I mean, people would have said to Jesus, and many other people like Jesus that have not been written into history. I mean, that was the most famous effort of this kind to wrest control of this planet from these forces. But there have been many before that. They would have said, why you? You're a carpenter's son, for goodness sake. Who the heck are you?
You're part of Jesus' soul before.
Precisely.
You're also part of many other people's lives on the way through
As
history.
As we all have been. We've all been on this earth and incarnated into different physical bodies many times. It's called reincarnation. But the other point you bring up about the predictions.
Yes.
If I am given information from beings who have proved to be perfectly accurate day after day after day, and things they've told us are going to happen, and they happen.
They told you Saddam Hussein was dead, and he's not.
That's right. Yes, he is.
Well, I watched his birthday party on the television yesterday.
All I can say to you is, all that glitters is not gold. Hang about and watch and wait.
Yeah, a bit of Wogue and Ike. What do you think of David Ike? I've not.
He's insane.
Have we been into David Icke since?
Yeah, we talked about him on the Reptilians episode.
Okay. He's an obed. He's insane.
Yeah.
Well, not insane. I don't know. It's just a way about him I can't stand. I can't stand the way he conducts himself.
Mm.
He's just really, I don't know, he's really complacent, isn't he?
Should we get him on the show?
No.
I mean, I definitely would have him on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'd be awkward,
though.
You can
talk to him.
Be really awkward after also saying that. But yeah.
What do you think he's a bellend?
I think he's all right. I mean, I don't agree with his, like, anti... Zionistic? Anti-Zionistic?
Right.
He's like a...
He's anti-Israel, isn't he?
A Semite. Anti-Semite. What is it? Anti-Semite?
Anti-Semitism is that hate Jewish people.
Yeah.
Does
we
he hate
about that before.
Does he hate Jewish people?
Yeah. So he declared that.
He didn't really go into why did he think, or why did he think he was the Messiah? Oh yeah, sorry, you were asking about anti-Semitism. So is he an anti-Semite? Is he doesn't like Jewish people?
I believe. Is it libelous to say he is if he isn't? I guess
so. I can cut it. I'll check it when I edit.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing I always check the facts on and cut if we're not right.
I don't know.
Apart from the Sistine Chapel thing.
I'm not up on all the anti-Semites in the world, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of people take issue with him, and the main thing is anti-Semitism.
Wait, you're not up with all the anti-Semites in the world?
I'm not. Okay. Yeah, I guess I don't know a lot of them. Because they're
not the sort of people I normally associate with, to be honest.
Isn't it the far right, like conspiracies? That is like the thing. We've been into this, right? Holocaust denial and the.
Yeah.
Anyway, David
that's
Icke.
Anti-Semitism.
So, yeah, I mean, that was just a little snippet. I don't really want to go too much into David Icke because it was literally as flippant as just he said he was God and then.
That was it.
The next, the next time it was just like, the next
He just
thing.
Said something else. He just wanted to say something outrageous on Wogan, basically.
Wasn't he a footballer?
So David Icke?
Yeah. He was a footballer before that. I don't know. I'm getting so many facts wrong. The Sistine Chapel, everything.
So was Derek Okora.
No.
Is he really?
So was Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay wasn't he?
Because we had a thing where I said how little I know about football at work, and they were like, name some footballers then, and I was like, Gordon Ramsay.
That's amazing.
And half the people didn't believe me, and they were like, go on, name another. I was like, Derek Okora. They had to look it up because they didn't believe me.
That's amazing. They didn't even... You knew more football knowledge than them. Literally schooled them with some Derek Okora. Have you guys ever heard of David Shaler?
David Shaler? Yeah, I have heard of David Shaler.
Who's David Shaler?
Oh, by the way, he is a notorious anti-Semite by the looks of things, David Icke.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I was very careful not to libel, but yeah.
No, he is.
Yeah.
He's been slammed as a Holocaust denier. Jewish News says that he's a notorious anti-Semite. So, who's David Shaler? Yeah, why do I know that name?
So, David Shaler was an ex-MI5 operative or employee, I guess.
Right.
And he whistleblew on the MI5 for wanting to assassinate Gaddafi, I think it was. but he came out as the son of God or God. Got an interview here with him from 2007. This is David Shaler, the mystic.
For years, David Shaler has been a thorn in the flesh of Britain's intelligence establishment. An MI5 officer for 6 years, he went to jail after leaking secret documents to the press. In the last 10 years, he's been a novelist, a writer on security matters, and a political activist. But his latest role may be the most talked about yet, that of mystic. Sally Gould went to meet him.
Church bells rang and rang and rang, and I was sitting there feeling slightly uncomfortable. He says, that's the proclamation of you being the Messiah. You are the Messiah.
David Shaler is used to raising eyebrows. He's a figure who rose to national prominence for saying the unsayable. 10 years ago, leaving his employer, MI5, in disgust, blowing the whistle in a national newspaper, claiming the security services planned to assassinate the Libyan leader, Colonel Gaddafi. He paid a price then, as now, for his pronouncements, imprisoned for defying the Official Secrets Act. Shaler says his conclusions on spirituality are just the next step on what's been a long road of truth-telling. He's now settled in Dartmoor in Devon, where he's been following signs that eventually led him to a psychic that he believes channeled the spirit of Mary Magdalene.
She says, I've been asked to anoint you with a spikenard. So I'm lying there and I get anointed. She puts the Messianic cross on my forehead. And it ends. And she said to me, and I said to her, do you know what you've just done? And she said, yes. And I said, it's a new era. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, don't you realise you've just anointed the Messiah? And she said, no, I haven't. And I said, well, that's what the Magdalene was indicating to me, and that's what you've just done.
What?
His spiritual journey started with Jewish mysticism. He came to believe he was one of the two prime incarnations of the Yeshua spirit. looking back through past lives, thinking he might have been Jesus, deciding he must have been a reincarnation of Astronages, a revolutionary crucified in 1 BC.
So, despite the lady doing this, it seemed to be like a spirit healer or something he was saying, he was still like, yeah, no, I am the Messiah.
I see. I think I missed something there. So he went to this spirit healer who he thought was the reincarnated spirit of Mary Magdalene.
No, I think he was. I think Mary Magdalene came through for him on the. Fuck
the spirit. The spirit healer brought Magdalene through to speak to him.
Maybe. And Mary Magdalene told him that he was the Messiah?
Yeah, yeah. She fucking... Wait, Mary Magdalene isn't the mother, it's that the not prostitute.
It's Jesus' lover.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other episode.
Because I always thought Mary Magdalene was Mary.
No.
No, Mary Magdalene was just one of his followers.
She's the female disciple that Jesus had an affair with, apparently. And there's speculation that her and Jesus had a child, and that suggests that there's still Jesus' bloodline alive today. That's the whole plot of the Da Vinci Code, basically.
See, I think mine's better. I thought that Mary, his mother, who was like the Immaculate Conception, that was bullshit, and she didn't go out with Joseph. She was just Jesus's fucking lover,
she
not his mother.
She didn't go out with Joseph.
She didn't go out with
Joseph.
She
didn't go out with Joseph.
She didn't go to the movies with Joseph that time.
So they weren't going out.
She was the Virgin Mary.
Right.
That's not Mary Magdalene.
That's not Mary Magdalene, no. I now know that. But why have two Marys in his fucking life? That is so confusing.
There's loads of Marys. It's like saying, why are there loads of... There's loads of Marys around, weren't there? Name all the rage at the time.
It's like when went out with Sally, even though his mum was called Sally.
That's literally this situation. Anyway.
It would be weird, though, wouldn't it?
Super weird.
Except there's absolutely no evidence of Jesus going out with Mary at all.
There's no evidence.
He went out with Mary Magdalene, mate.
Mate, they went out.
Say Mary.
You can't say that they didn't at least, you know, go on a date.
I'm keeping that one in my back pocket anyway. I did a bit of research on that quite a while ago.
Ooh. Okay, cool. We'll move on from that then. Okay, so Shayla, let's continue this interview because there's another bit I want to stop on, which is absolute gold.
Absolute Shayla. That's his autobiography.
The new album from David Shayla. Absolute Shayla.
He believes other past lives have included John the Divine, Leonardo da Vinci, King Arthur, and the archangel Metatron.
So this is who he thinks he's linked to, but the bit at the end is just... You've got to hear it.
He sees proof of all this in a crop circle on a chessboard he drew as a child, and in the text on the Rod
he
of Aaron.
Sorry, I've got to play it again because I don't fully know what it said.
I keep missing that.
How did she say that with a straight face?
So.
He sees proof of all this in a crop circle on a chessboard he drew as a child.
So he saw proof of this in a crop circle on a chessboard he drew as a child.
He drew.
What? A crop circle on a chessboard that he drew? What?
Wait a minute. So what's the crop circle that he drew, or that he drew a chessboard
and then drew a crop
took
circle
it that
on
he it. Drew a chessboard with a crop circle on it.
But he saw proof of it in something he drew.
In something that he drew, yeah.
He created the proof.
He's insane.
The levels of separation from that.
That's what I mean. It's just like Jesus
he's
Christ.
Insane.
How is this on the news?
Like someone we should be listening to.
Was that a slow news week?
Oh my life! That is absolutely
that's almost
insane.
Brass eye. That's almost
yeah. I was
going to
say that is a well. That's a ballsy claim. Brass yeah. Balls. I don't know about brass eye.
He sees proof of all this in a crop circle on a chessboard he drew as a child, and in the text on the rod of Aaron, the staff carried by the brother of Moses.
There is an anagram of David Shaler, righteous king, on the rod of Aaron. And I looked at that, except the word for Hebrew that they used for king was chav.
What?
So at the moment, I suddenly realise it goes David, S-H-A, I'm going through my name, and think, someone's trying to tell me, because this is known as the ineffable name of God, someone's trying to tell you you're God. And at the moment you suddenly realise that someone's trying to tell you you're God, David Shaler, righteous chav.
Shaler says he now has the ability to change the weather, that his meditation stopped this summer's attempted bombings in London, that his channeling of the light put Middlesbrough into the UEFA Cup final.
Oh my God! Divine intervention at work.
Wow.
He is fucking divine deluded.
Intervention.
What the hell?
That is divine intervention.
God, that
you
is
cannot
so
deny.
Deluded.
You can't deny
that
it.
He's mental.
Oh my Shayla, I can't believe it.
Oh wow.
Oh my Shayla.
That is impressive bullshit.
That's great.
That is insane. Oh, he's just getting on the news. He's just Toffee Crisp Man all over again. He just wants to get on the news.
He's either a complete like compulsive liar, or he's just absolutely like he's lost his marbles.
I think both.
How deluded can you be?
But this that is what deluded. I never understand about. It's you get these people that say, I am the Messiah, and they don't equate Messiah to Jesus.
Right.
They just think, this is nothing to do with Christianity. I'm just the Messiah. Like,
yeah.
They take the meaning Messiah, and it's just something completely different altogether. He's not.
No.
So
he's going into no biblical reference. Stuff.
He's not saying he's Jesus. Somehow, within the Christian frame of reference, there was another Messiah called David Shaler.
Yeah.
Right? That is mental.
Yeah.
That he's so desperately trying to find links to himself in it. It's like, they're trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
If you look
what
for...
What are you talking about?
If you look for links, you'll find them.
It's like what we said, is you can take sections of the Bible and skew them to whatever you want.
Pretty much.
It's a text that is meant to be read in multiple ways, but because of that, you can abuse it. And we've talked about these people that do that before. He's just doing the same thing. He's just abusing religious belief.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where he's got, where he would have found some scripture or some writings he said on the rod of Aaron or something like that. That's crazy. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. It's just all absolute bullcrap.
I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, I did enjoy that clip.
It's a great clip.
But don't you put it in another perspective. So take him as a person. He worked for the MI5.
Yeah.
So you think the amount of psychological tests and fitness, and they would have gone through the way his brain works, and like the psychology... Like, you need to be so psychologically fit to work for a government body like that.
That is so scary, isn't it?
Isn't that a big downfall? Wow. I just remember that he says it helps get Middlesbrough into the FA Cup final.
It started with him saying, oh, he can now change the weather. And I was like, what is he talking about?
Change
and
the
he
weather.
Had that clip of him sort of meditating like he's changing the weather around him.
And prevented some of the London bombings
so
that summer.
So I was like, oh, okay. So he actually thinks of himself as a hero. And then it's like, yeah, okay, so you've got some divine power. I don't think they're going to let... Whoever's bestowed that divine power on you, I think they're not going to let you fuck around willy-nilly with a football team.
Yeah.
That got Middlesbrough to the cup. It's like when they were doing the screen test, he was just explaining the sort of powers he has. And then his like little brother popped his head around the door and was like, and you got Middlesbrough to the cup? And he's like, yeah, yeah, just, yeah. And then they put it in the show. The bastards. The bastards. Okay.
Tiz, you're a Shayla defender.
I'm a Shayla defender. I'm a defender of all people with mental health problems.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I guess...
I draw the line.
I don't know, where do you say that someone is...
But they definitely can't help it, because you wouldn't put yourself through that much self-immolation for nothing.
Don't put him on telly, then. Take him to a doctor.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But that's the BBC's fault.
He's being exploited.
Yeah. Shayla.
But that's
John Ronson's. Just... John Ronson did a story with him actually, and John Ronson's account is always balanced and thoughtful. I really liked that. That was really good. But I think it was like him talking about David Shayla being part of a secret. Not a secret, but like a group that go to the pub and discuss conspiracy theories. And I think they were attacking one of the London bombing survivors, like saying that she was an actor, like a crisis actor.
Oh, right.
So I think it was following that.
I remember that coming around actually as a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah. I remember that, but at the time there was people saying that she was an actor. I remember that being on telly.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like I might be conflating two stories that John Ronson did, but I definitely think David Shirley was in that. But anyway, that's a bit of comedy relief with that those are sort of like inconsequential messiahs because they never really got a cult following. Well, I guess David Icke's done pretty well out of it, but Shayla hasn't. And this one is a cult initiation tape from the Heaven's Gate. This guy's called Marshall Applewhite. God, I should know his name. Just a minute.
Heaven's Gate was a very famous sort of cult. We've talked about it a little bit on your cults episodes before. It's come up.
Yeah.
Never in detail.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that dude. Alan John Miller from Australia. That guy who came on UK telly and was like, I'm basically God. And they were just like, are you insane?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. He was just like, yeah, man. Like, you know, you can believe what you want. You can laugh. But I genuinely am Jesus.
Days.
I'm going to use that clip at the beginning of Tis saying, I genuinely am Jesus.
Oh my God. Michael the Messiah. Michael Trevessa. We've done Michael Trevessa, haven't we?
I've got a list here of the ones that we've actually mentioned before.
Really?
I remembered the episode that we talked about. At the end of one of Beef's episodes, we had a brief talk about people who have had Messiah complexes. So Tis, if it's any of these on your list, I'm going to let you know now.
Cool.
Alan Miller.
Okay.
Oscar Romero Ortega Hernandez.
Cool.
Apollo Quibbeloy.
I don't even remember mentioning these.
And Viserion.
Viserion?
Viserion.
Oh.
This is where Tis goes, none of these. All of the rest of them.
None of these. I'm going to get some water.
Yeah, none of these.
I thought he was running off to rip up his notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end of the eschatology episode.
Oh, that's it. I remember that.
You did it was like a game.
I did.
You played clips of people who claimed to be Jesus, and they were the clips that you played.
Oh, I feel like this is such a light-hearted episode that it's going to get a lot darker if I want it to.
Take it, man.
However you want to take it, mate.
Take it to the bridge. Take it to the suicide bridge.
Okay, fuck it. We're going to put Heaven's Gate cult on hold. I just want to jump straight into Waco. Waco. You guys heard of Waco?
Yeah. There's a Sky series that's just started, I think. On Waco.
No way. Shit.
Yeah, just this week, yeah.
Ah.
It looks pretty good.
Is it the sequel to Chernobyl?
No.
So, you've heard of Waco, right? The raid?
I've heard of it.
Okay, so
I only know a little bit. I know Americans talk about Waco a lot.
Yeah, it's one of them things, I'm sort of aware of it, but never really... It was all over the news,
Yeah. There's a lot of... conflicting opinions, conspiracy theories and the such, considering what happened. So
give us a condensed version of it.
The Messiah in question, David Koresh, is the head of the Branch Davidian, who had a compound in Waco, Texas, called Mount Carmel. And I forget how many were exactly in there before the fire, but basically there was a siege on the whole Waco compound.
Right.
I think they got wind of lots and lots of weaponry being stored there, they were collecting guns, what's the word? Arming themselves, building an armory, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what was it? What's the people that monitor guns in the US? I think it's
the NRA.
NRA? No, the NRA have four guns. It's like the police that are in charge of like controlling guns, like who's guns and stuff. So basically they had a warrant to go and raid the compound for weapons.
Right.
And when they got there, they...
So this is before they knew this was a cult?
No, they everyone knew it's like the Branch Davidian, it's like a sort of breakaway church movement, commune. I don't know whether everyone knew that it was a cult.
Who all believed that this David Koresh was the Messiah.
I think there was like a few bits that had come out about possible like sexual abuse and stuff like that from Koresh. Like,
sounds about right.
But I think the reason for the raid was the warrants for the arms, and it was the arrest of David Koresh as well. Actually, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it was some more, but yeah. Anyway, so they approached approaching the compound. And I think they warn the postman to like get out of the area. And the postman is a Branch Davidian. So he finds out ahead of time, goes back to the compound, lets everyone know. So by the time the police get there, it's all like standoff.
Right.
I think a negotiator went to the door. There's questions of who shot first.
Mm.
And then an all-out gun battle was all over the news. 52 days the siege lasted. 52 days.
Wow, that is a long time. That is such a long time.
So this siege...
Yeah, this, the siege lasted 52 days.
This was like a... Between the police and the Waco residents.
Yes.
That's such a long time.
Can you imagine how long, like, one day is of a siege?
Yeah, it's mad.
Yeah, that's... crazy.
The first night would be scary because you'd think they're going to break through.
Yeah, when you're on like day 20, when you're on like day 5, you must be like, Jesus Christ, this is mental.
You'd be shattered.
I think after like day 10, you're just like, okay, this is kind of boring now.
Yeah, this is just life now. Yeah.
You'd be so tired.
Slowly people, so it says immediately open fire on 120 men, women and children inside. So I've got this really good news article which kind of condenses both the perceived real event and the perceived conspiracy. It's a tale of the government gone mad. A huge force of federal agents descends upon a peaceful commune of religious seekers in Texas, immediately open fires on some 120 men, women and children inside, and uses military helicopters to strafe the compound with deadly fire, murdering a woman in her bed with shots through the roof. 5 people are killed by agents at the compound. A 6th, who was away when the raid began, is ambushed by agents as he tries to make his way back into the compound, shot without warning from the side. Moments later, agents can be heard finishing off the unarmed man with a final coup de grace. 51 days after that, concluding with one of the longest sieges in US law enforcement history, enraged FBI agents send tanks crashing into the compound, injecting CS tear gas as terrified residents cower inside. So tear gas was actually banned in 1969 to be used on enemy combatants. So that's really interesting that they approved the use of tear gas on
this compound. This is all because there were reports of sexual abuse. Is that why they were doing this?
I need to look into that. Well, I need to look into why.
And arms.
I think it was the arms mainly.
Oh, and the arms. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was the arms. And then as soon as the standoff happened and they realized, they had a lot of phone calls with Koresh. There's like on the news. I think like one of the demands was like play this on the news at a certain time and 2 hostages get to like to go, or 2 people can come out or something like that.
So what was just that they had too many guns?
Yeah, they had... Well, I guess they were storing guns, and I guess it just became...
It's like, at what point does storing guns become like, you've got your own private army here?
Yeah, exactly. Walls come crashing down.
Yeah, so we've talked about on the cults episodes before, but like, to a degree, don't all cult leaders have some sort of messiah complex about them?
Yeah, I mean,
they make themselves into God.
The biggest one is that John Jones? Jonestown
Jim
Messenger?
Jim Jones.
Your episode, the one you did.
Jim Jones. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's who he thought he was. Yeah. Jim Jones. Manson had a bit of it as well.
So, yeah, so a little tangent that I want to take you guys on.
Right.
From the Waco thing. Have you guys listened to Boards of Canada before?
Yeah.
No.
So they have a really interesting interest, I guess, in this whole thing. And my friend Tim was telling me all about it, and it was really interesting. Just crazy. There's a lot of references to the Waco Massacre in a lot of Boards of Canada songs. In one of the songs, it's got a lot. It's got A Wonderful Place Out in the Country. A Beautiful Place Out in the Country has samples of the Branch Davidians, like, tape. It's like A Beautiful Place Out in the Country, like, sample. And there's also a song called Ammo Bishop Roden, and in general that whole EP is centered around the Branch Davidian and Waco. And Ammo Bishop Roden was like one of the breakaway leaders of the Branch Davidian. She was married to the old leader who David Koresh sort of, you know, dethroned. And there's also a sample in, I think it's 1969, and it's not a follower of David Koresh. She is still a devoted Branch Davidian. Which is supposedly referencing Ammo Bishop Roden. But that's like three different albums they're referencing that person and the Branch Davidian. And there's a song called 1969, which is a link to when tear gas was banned in 1969, the same tear gas that was used in the Waco Massacre.
The
Boards of Canada link is so freaky. When you listen to their music and those songs, there's also like a whole there's a website called Bok Pages, which is all about Boards of Canada basically. But there's a lot of cult cultish sort of mythology surrounding Boards of Canada. They've got like a cult called the Hexagon Turquoise Sun,
right?
Just really interesting. If anyone's a Boards of Canada fan, I recommend you go on that website and brush up.
I wasn't aware of that link at all.
Yeah, they're such a strange band because they are so secretive.
Well, so secretive, I've not even heard of them, so...
Honestly, Beef, they are amazing. Boards of Canada are probably one of my favourite artists. They make music that no one else makes.
Nice.
It's like nostalgia in a song. It's really nostalgic, but you've never heard
it before. This episode's sponsored by Boards of Canada.
I think you should layer in some Ammo Bishop Roden underneath this talk as...
While you're talking about
it. Honestly, because the sounds of Boards of Canada will make it sound really compelling.
Okay.
My friend Tim and I were talking about it when we were listening to some Boards of Canada, and I was just like... Oh, I was so freaked out. It was,
I'll layer it in, mate.
But the whole link to the Waco Massacre, it kind of points the finger at what the conspiracy theorists, so say conspiracy theorists, would say, that the FBI took down a completely peaceful commune for some reason, and there's almost esoteric, like supernatural stuff. People saying, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just strange, isn't it? What do you guys think to the whole Branch Davidian, Waco, Texas thing? Because the other side of the coin is obviously they had a shitload of guns. Apparently, someone in the compound opened fire. So the FBI, you know, I think the negotiator got shot. I think they backed up. I saw a whole documentary from their side, and it was like there was quite a lot of footage of the actual thing, and it seems like they were under immense scrutiny the entire time.
The thing is, coming from a country where guns are not commonplace at all, any time I hear things about guns, my instinct is on it always like, oh, that's bad. So if there is a group that's like stockpiling weaponry, I'm instantly like, that's not good. Like they shouldn't be able to do that. So my brain, being from this like anti-gun country, is instantly just like, no, they can't do that. That needs to be stopped. Yeah. You can't just stockpile guns.
It is.
So my brain automatically goes to like stop that.
Yeah.
But it's also, yeah, I can't. I think if there's one thing that I think Europeans just fail to understand about Americans, and it is their obsession with guns. And I think, I mean, I appreciate a lot of our listeners are American, and so it's...
And we have been called out on saying negative things about guns before.
The thing about guns, I guess, is...
Doesn't change my mind about guns, listeners. I still think they're shit.
Yeah.
No, guns are terrible.
I think they suck. You're not going to change my mind.
No, because I think it's... But it's just because it's so far removed from our cultural understanding. We just don't have... You know, when we hear of gun violence, so someone was shot in Aylesbury like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Mm.
And that's, see, if someone's shot in England, that's always quite like, makes you go, oh my God.
You're like, whoa.
Because I'm just like, I don't even know where you get a gun.
No, I wouldn't know the first. I mean, I know farmers have guns.
Yeah. But I wouldn't... Like my granddad's got a shotgun. We used to.
Yeah. But I wouldn't know where to... It's not like you can go down Tesco's and get a gun.
We don't have gun shops.
No. Well, surely you'd have to go to a pretty... Like, you'd have to probably go to, like, a...
Black market.
And well, I don't know.
I couldn't imagine holding a gun.
You can buy them, but you'd... It's... Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't imagine holding a gun.
But we don't have, like, ammunition on the corner.
It's ironic because I play Super Hot, which is essentially holding a gun, but that's a virtual gun. That's fine,
right?
But let's just say if listeners take umbrage to the our dislike of guns, then I think I'm happy to have that around. Like I think this is why, because stuff like this happens.
I think their biggest peeve is. They think that if their guns get taken away and everyone else has guns, that they will be left defenseless. Basically, there's too many guns now in America to demilitarize. We'd have to...
Yeah, and people aren't just going to hand over their guns.
Yes, exactly.
I get that it's an impossible situation.
Yeah,
I get that.
It's a standoff.
Actually, removing guns or criminalizing guns is kind of impossible at the moment.
Yes.
I get that completely. It still doesn't make me go, guns are great then. Like, guns still suck, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I feel like it's great to live in a country where that is the case. You can't just fucking go and buy a gun.
No, I don't have to walk down the street and worry about guns. It doesn't enter my head when I leave the house.
No.
You shouldn't have to worry about going to church or work or school or with that in your mind.
It actually worried me the other day because, like I said, I'm going to America for the first time this year and... Actually thinking about it, I was like, they've got guns over there. And it kind of like scared me a little bit to think about.
Yeah, it kind of it's quite intimidating.
Because I haven't been to many countries where like guns are even a thing.
When I see a gun, so when Rachel and I went on our honeymoon, just the airport police were walking around with like big rifles. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. That's the only time I've seen a gun. You go to like Spain and the Spanish police got like a big gun walking around the airport. And I'm
just
like,
It's always the airport.
Yeah.
It scares me, man. Like just seeing a gun.
It is
like
scary.
That.
Yeah. It is scary. Well, like, it's scary for me.
They kill people.
Yeah.
No matter what Goldie looking chains say.
Guns don't kill people. guns don't kill people, robbers do.
Guns don't kill people, robbers do. I'm a f***ing rapper and I might kill you. As a rapper, I'm teaching you a lesson. AK-47 to Smith & Wesson. Just say no, just like Sam.
Gun. Oh, Siri, I said gun. Shut up.
If you twitch the wrong way, they're going to shoot you down. Like a dodo bird. Dead as a dodo bird. Where were we?
Right. You're yes, asking our so opinion on the guns.
What do we think about Waco?
Waco, yeah.
Well, I guess what we're saying is that this has been triggered by guns, hasn't it? So, hey. But yeah, I just find this whole I think maybe this is where also as Brits we struggle to understand this. We're just so, you know, we kind of we're just not really egotistical people, or most of us aren't. And but do you not think that we're quite modest in the UK? It's all a bit. You can't just take a compliment. You can't just say.
I feel like we're all stuck for what we mean. I can't think what I'm trying to say, but
I can't get anywhere.
I know what I mean, but I can't put it into words. I can't. Like it's not an egotistical thing. Maybe we're just more wary of big personalities, a kind of.
I see what you mean. We're more like
cynical,
insular as a people, like more closed.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Clicky.
Exactly that. Yeah.
It's like when someone in England sat next to you on a bus, they wouldn't talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If someone sat next to you on a bus in America, they would talk to you, or a lot of other countries. We're quite reserved, is the word.
Yes, that's exactly
the word. I knew it was on the tip of my tongue. Reserved, yeah.
Reserved, yeah, yeah. It's not an ego thing. Sorry, no. We are egotistical. Yeah. So I just wonder whether again that the idea of a cult is quite strange to me.
But then we have had them in the UK. They do happen.
We have. They do happen. I'm not saying they don't happen. But maybe we haven't had as many.
One's happening right now.
They're not as famous generally.
So yeah, and I think maybe because, and that's why.
There's probably one in the UK right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. There listening is cults. To there this. Was like big cults. There's been big cults in the UK, like in the 90s, especially. There was a few cults.
Yeah, like Scientology.
There's probably a big cult listening to this episode right now on loudspeaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Hope so.
Repent.
Yeah. No, it's very weird. Very weird.
Very weird. Well, that was Waco.
You're going to have to edit, like, me not being able to...
Oh, don't worry.
All of that waffle was, like, shocking.
Yeah, because that's not even interesting to listen to. Like, when it's, like, embarrassing, I leave it in. But when it's just, like, a lot of us going, what's the word? That's not interesting. I always cut that stuff.
No. Yeah. I was like, I'm so glad you said reserved. I was like, that's
it
what
took
I meant.
Me so... I knew that's what you meant as well. That's why I was trying to think of it. But, yeah.
So there's one called Mitsuo Matayoshi. Standing regularly and unsuccessfully in various Japanese elections, Matayoshi is the founder of a political party as well as claiming to be Jesus Christ reborn. His ultimate ambition is to be UN Secretary General. From that position, he will institute God's will on earth and bring about the end of days.
Lovely.
It's good to have modest goals.
Yeah. I mean, shoot for the stars, man. That is quite ambitious.
Again, where does he get this idea from? That this is, it's usually like a dream, isn't it, or like a visitation, or like a face in their cereal, or something like that.
I had a fucking weird dream the other day. If anyone can tell me the meaning of this, I know it's really boring to talk about your dreams on a podcast, but if anyone can tell the meaning of this, because it's stuck in my head, I was massive, naked, laying in a church. With my arms outspread and my legs out the bottom, there was a shackle around my throat, and there was loads of small people like pulling my neck down and tightening it up and tying me to the ground with this big like manacle. And my feet were out the bottom of the because I was massive. I was like as big as the church taken up. My feet were out the front door of the church, so they were like cold. I could feel the breeze on them. And then they went underground and I could see my feet under the ground poking down through the roof of a cavern, but they were covered in white like talcum powder with spots of blood all over the soles of my feet.
Jeez.
And that was so fucking vivid. Isn't that weird?
That is very weird.
The only thing I can't remember from it is what I could see. Like, I could see something in the roof of the church, of the rafters. Like, I can't remember what I was looking at above me. Fucking weird dream, though. All of that was so vivid.
That is crazy.
It's one of the creepiest, weirdest dreams I've ever had.
But you were tied down by your neck.
I was very much just like laying there and just aware of what was going on around me, like getting shackled by my neck, arms outstretched, and then the feet with the white powder all over them and the specks of blood on the soles of my feet. And I was naked. It was so weird.
In the church?
In the church, yeah. Weird. Looking up at something. That's the only thing. I can't remember what was above me. I can't remember what was above me. So, yeah. Creepy, right?
I think I have an idea, but I'll tell you later. I'll have a little think.
All right. I think the shackle was... Well, I've been feeling quite claustrophobic recently. Like, I have claustrophobia anyway. I've talked about it. And I think that was the resurgence of this claustrophobia I've been feeling. But yeah.
Yeah, my interpretation was you feel trapped.
Yeah.
That you feel like... And to me... what kind of church was it?
It's just like a big wooden building, like an old shack church.
In the dream, were you aware that you were in a church?
Yeah, like I woke up and I knew I was in a church, yeah.
So I wonder whether to you, a church, whereas church means something completely different to me, a church to you might represent order and authority.
Well, that's interesting.
And Jesus and Christ.
Jesus Christ. no, but church, you're in a church. Like, to me, yeah. This is what church means to me because my experience of church is different. But to you, yeah. Church might represent having to behave a certain way.
Yeah.
Having to...
A foreign place, somewhere I don't necessarily feel like I belong.
Yeah, and you feel like you have...
Oh, it's probably to do with work then. It's to do with work. I'm trapped in a building where I don't feel like I belong.
And you have to conform.
I'm like walking on fucking nails to get in there every day. It feels like that's why there's blood on my feet. It's probably all to do with my job. Right.
Yeah.
Tissy, go on. We're case closed.
We are going to watch Heaven's Gate Cult Initiation Tape, Part 1.
Ooh.
Right.
This is that dude, Marshall Applebottom Gate Water. I can't remember his name. It's Marshall Apple something.
Marshall Applegate.
Marshall. No, not Applegate. It was a weird.
As in
fucking
Christina
name.
Applegate's brother.
I'm going to have to Google it. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Marshall Applewhite.
Applewhite. See, it was weird at the end. Just turns. You think it's going to go Applegate, Apple. Anything else apart from white, to be honest. Right, let's go white.
Anything apart from white.
Or, in old language, a couple thousand years ago, disciples. Those who are trying to prepare themselves for entry into the evolutionary level above human, synonymous with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind, and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape, Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us. Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us. Now, that's a pretty major statement, pretty bold in terms of religion, in terms of anybody's intelligent thinking. To most people who would consider themselves intelligent beings, they'd say, well, that's absurd. What's all this doomsday stuff? What's all this prophetic stuff? You know, intelligent human beings should realize that everything has their cycle. They have their season. They have their beginning. They have their end. They have cycles. We're not saying that planet Earth is coming to an end. We're saying that planet Earth is about to be refurbished, spaded under, and have another chance to serve as a garden for another human civilization. Now, the reason this is such an interesting time is not only because we're on the threshold of the end of this civilization, because it's about to be recycled, but because of where that finds us, where that finds you, where that finds those who would judge us.
So, it's just waffling now.
You stopped at the exact point I was going to say, I've heard enough now. It was really weird. It was like you got like a psychic energy from me.
Look at the face he's pulling at me.
I was going to say his face is so creepy.
Yeah.
His eyes are so like, he's trying to hypnotize you with the wide, unblinking eyes.
Yeah.
Are they the cult that, so when they say they leave Earth before, so they say they're going to leave Earth, do they mean they're going to kill themselves?
Yes.
Is so, that Heaven's Gate?
Yes.
Yes.
So what happened is he said that they're going to, there's an alien civilization.
Of course.
So this guy said that basically they have to commit suicide to board this alien spaceship.
There's a flaw in that plan.
The giving of your life is the transportation needed to get to this alien spacecraft and live with them and move on from the Earth.
And people believe that?
33 people did, yeah.
33. So,
poor bastards. Like, if you're that frame of mind, though, where you can believe that,
it's not enough.
You poor bastards.
The thing is, none of them, you know, when they're trying to get people to do this, none of them, they're not preying on vulnerable people. They themselves are also deluded. Mm. They believe, but why would you, like, if someone comes to you and says, right, there's this spaceship, yeah, we need to kill ourselves, get on it, and then we get saved in the next life. You'd be like, okay, how do you know? Because you're not dead until you haven't experienced it.
And how do I get on something when I'm dead?
Well, if you believe in an afterlife, then that's not a question, is it?
So my spirit's going to get on it?
Yeah. Or your spirit is given another body or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think in any religion killing yourself is considered like a heroic act to the point where you'll then get your spirit can then enter a craft.
That's seen as that's like the great tragedy in the New Testament is Judas killing himself.
Mm.
It's not a glorified thing at all. It's not like the Bible doesn't talk about it. It's not like a shameful thing. It's just like a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it seems crazy. Whenever this idea of killing yourself for a religious purpose comes up, it seems mad.
It so goes against any form of religion that I'm aware of. That all religions that I'm aware of are just like suicide is a tragedy or it's a sin or it's never considered something that has any positives to it.
No.
I've got a little video. A look inside the Heaven's Gate cult 20 years after the mass suicide.
Nice.
They are grim reminders of an American tragedy. These are actual bunk beds and purple shrouds from the horror known as Heaven's Gate.
What authorities do know is that 39 people are dead.
It happened 20 years ago, an act of mass suicide that shocked the world. 18 men and 21 women were found dead in their bunks and cots in a beautiful mansion outside San Diego. All were dressed in identical black clothing and sneakers, covered by purple shrouds.
I'm Doe.
This was their leader, Marshall Applewhite, known by his fellow cultists as Doe. Somehow he was able to talk his followers into consuming a toxic mix of vodka and chocolate pudding or applesauce, laced with barbiturates. Some also had plastic bags pulled over their heads. Doe made the preposterous claim that upon death, they would all board an extraterrestrial alien spacecraft.
You have to trust me. You have to believe me.
I think there was a religious group that committed suicide.
We are going inside this mansion where the largest mass suicide in American history took place.
Reporters were stunned when they gained access to the mansion following the mass suicide.
Gruesome blood stains and splatters. The tragic remnants of four people who died together in this little room.
Hard to believe, but to this day, Heaven's Gate still has its supporters. We found the Heaven's Gate website up and running. It looks just like it did in 1997. And there's another place where memories of Heaven's Gate can still be found.
Everybody's wearing exactly the same kind of uniform.
Professor David Taylor has studied the cult. Here at the Museum of Death in Hollywood, the bunks and shrouds are real, and the mannequins are wearing actual clothes taken from some of the bodies.
This is one of two different patches.
I've been there.
Have you?
They chose and had designed for the actual suicide event. It says Earth exit, which, you know, indicates their intention.
Doe's followers had some pretty bizarre beliefs.
They wore drab, loose clothing to minimize men being attracted to women and vice versa.
And nine of the men actually were castrated.
That's right.
By their own volition.
That's right. They've all volunteered to be castrated.
We wanted to look normal when we went out among the public.
That fate did not befall this former Heaven's Gate member, who goes by the name Sawyer. He spent 18 years with the cult, reaching the rank of overseer before leaving in 1994. He gave Les Trent a chilling insight into Doe's mind.
He said that there wasn't a day that went by that he didn't think himself insane.
Doe said that?
Yeah.
Not a day went by he didn't think himself insane.
Yeah.
Sadly, 39 people lost their lives, proving he was right.
Wow.
I love that. So he was there for 18 years, but he left before it got really bad.
Here's a cool idea for a sitcom. They do make it onto the spacecraft.
Jeez.
33 people.
It's a bit of a dower. Like, that's, you got a lot of effort to try and sell that to a company, though.
Oh, it's not for sale.
Yeah, it's just, it's so,
that's fucking
it's
grim.
So sad. It's really sad. And it's sad to me that, I don't know, I guess in a really strange way, I guess the only comfort from it is that they obviously didn't see it as a sad thing. They saw it as like a release into something new.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is grim.
Grim.
Grim. It was. I kind of coped okay with the idea of them drinking something that would kill them. With the plastic bag over the head.
Nah.
Was it a plastic bag or was it a shroud?
No, he said some of them have plastic bags on their heads.
Jeez.
Man, that's no way to go, is it? Suffocation is just...
Yeah, that's everything I've got. That's Son of God.
You started with the cheery thing and it got more and more depressing as the episode went on?
Yeah, I know.
that was what you were going for.
I think the Waco thing and the Boards of Canada has to be... The Boards of Canada music in general will set the tone for that section. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Downward spiral.
It's great, though. People come for the lightheartedness and the horror. So that's a bit of both in one episode.
That's what we do. True and please everyone.
Bang for buck.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic, isn't it? And it's interesting. It's not all just people that think they're God and they can control football matches.
Well, that's like, actually it's interesting because the one time we spoke about it before briefly on Beef's eschatology episode about the idea of people claiming to be Jesus, that was more specifically about people claiming to be Jesus, and it was like a couple of crackpot videos about people saying I am Jesus. That was just like a few crackpot videos. This was much more. I thought this was going to be more of like wackiness, but this was more like I am the Messiah, I am God, I am I am everyone, listen to me. This was much darker.
Yeah, that's
apart from that guy at the beginning who controlled the football match.
That's amazing. That I think you needed that to
That's got to go at the start
imagine
of the episode.
Imagine if we rolled straight into Waco. Just, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it would be hard to bring the tone back up.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can bring it back from that. I had to start with crazy MI5, man.
Amazing.
David Shaler.
If David Shaler's listening, by the way, what dude?
Come on the show. I've got a few questions.
Oh, wait, no. I think he's an anti-Semite as well.
Oh, God.
Really?
I think a lot of people that are crazy are anti-Semites.
They can't...
This comes with the territory.
They can't...
Yeah.
They can't be the Messiah and be an anti-Semite because Jesus was Jewish.
That's... Well, yeah, I mean, that's the irony.
That's what we can talk to him about, isn't it? That's where we get Shayla on.
Well, I doubt he's listening.
No.
You doubt he's listening? Really?
I don't know.
I bet he's looking in the mirror going, oh, you gorgeous Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my me.
Oh, that has got to go at the start of the episode. Oh, my gorgeous Jesus.
Oh, me.
Oh, me.
Right, well, thanks, Tis. Thanks for taking us on that journey.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was good, man. That was good fun. I love the funny stuff and I love the Dower stuff. It's all really good.
I just wanted to insert Boards of Canada into an episode, to be honest. And
well, thy will be done.
That's how it came about. It was Boards of Canada, Waco, and then when I was watching David Koresh, I thought, how could I make this into a bigger episode? And the Son of God thing came to me, and I thought, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was good. Thanks, Tis.
It's all good.
Okay, so let's do... I'm going to save Listener of the Week till right at the end. The admin stuff. Going to blitz through it super quick. If you want to go and find out more about us, go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. Where you'll find a blog post related to every episode, including this one. All the videos that Tis played, there'll be links so you can view those in full. And there'll be links to anything that we mention as well on there. Also on the website, you can find ways to support us through Ko-fi. You can also buy merchandise from us by kicking the Tee Public link. You can find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter pages, and all those things. And you can also contact us, or if you want to email us directly, it's unexplainableuk@mail.com. Wow, that was efficient. And don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes.
Imagine a sharing website where everyone could just buy each other like a coffee or a beer or something. Just like everyone set up to the platform. Mm-hmm. Do you think people would give generously? Do you think people would bring the vibe up online?
What do you mean?
People would? Like, imagine if there was like an app that people got into the habit of just like whenever people were like having a bad day, just like bought them a coffee or something.
Well, give them the monetary value of a coffee.
Yeah.
But that's what coffee is. If people want to just like buy us a coffee one day, they can. They go on the app and it's like £3 a pop and they can say two coffees, so £6.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I guess in my mind it was like a sharing app where everyone shared, but I just, yeah. I think it would work.
Right. Any guys, any more stuff before we close up the episode?
No.
Oh, okay.
If you press stop.
So Tis is gone, so I'll just imagine what he says. But so Listener of the Week this week, I'm going to give it to a listener called James Martin.
Listener of the Week.
He's messaged us a few times, and he's in a band, and they've actually written songs. They got a song about Bella from the Witch Elm Tree, and they write songs about like H.P. Lovecraft and things like that. And he sent me some of his music, so I'm gonna. The band's called Black Feather. So, Listener of the Week, James Martin. Outro music this week is also going to be his band Black Feather. I'm going to play their song Summit, which was inspired by H.P. Lovecraft, in particular the novella Mountains of Madness, which is a real fave of mine. Obviously, I'm a big Lovecraft fan of the work and the things it inspired, not the man. He's a massive racist. so there we go. So outro music this week and listen to the week, James Martin and his band Black Feather, and this is Summit to play us out. So see you next time, everyone. Till next time. Bye, 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 bye. Love you, love you, love you.
See you later. Bye. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you gorgeous Jesus.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.